Innovation is a popular concept in the government contracting space, but agencies still crave experience, and that means innovation might not be the edge it's cracked up to be. Larry Allen's president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And you write in the newsletter this week that innovation and new ideas aren't a substitute for experience. What caused you to go there in the first place, Larry? Thanks for coming on today.
Sure thing, Francis. Well, I think, you know, we've heard a lot about innovative acquisition, both in terms of GSA's 18F operation, which certainly has had some successes on a small scale, in terms of being innovative, both in what they buy and how they buy it. Similarly, there is a tremendous emphasis in the Department of Defense on innovative technology. You know, the Secretary has had some well-chronicled trips out to Silicon Valley to enlist the support of great minds there to come up with things that will help the U.S. maintain its technological edge from a national security standpoint. And those are all good things, but, you know, not every new idea or not every idea you think is new is necessarily, in fact, new. And that's kind of my reason behind putting this together in the newsletter this week, that, look, not everything is new under the sun. Some things have been tried before, and you really ought to have some experienced people mixed in with the innovators to make sure that when you're innovating, you're actually going to get the most out of your efforts.
Category management, you write, can sound an awful lot like federal IT under the Brooks Act if OMB isn't careful. Now, I wasn't around when the Brooks Act was passed, but I have been around long enough to know the Brooks Act was a while ago.
Brooks Act actually was around until the mid-1990s, and basically what it did was it set up GSA as the sole conduit through which federal agencies could buy information technology. And of course, that led to a couple of things. One, it led to a tremendous bottleneck in terms of acquisitions that GSA managed. Secondly, there was no way that GSA could really manage all the IT acquisitions, so they had to develop realistic workarounds that enabled federal agencies to go out and get the IT they needed while still checking in with GSA to make sure they were abiding by the technical aspects of the Brooks Act. All of this made the government a second-class buyer and second-class user of IT, Francis, and that's why Congress abolished it in the mid-90s. And I think, you know, category management is one of those things that I understand from a management standpoint may sound like a good thing, but if you're not careful, you're going to be right back where you were at the Brooks Act, and the government will not just be a second-class user of IT, it'll be a second-class buyer of professional services and other things it needs to meet varied agency missions.
So it sounds to me like you're not suggesting that category management isn't a good idea or couldn't work. It sounds to me like what you're suggesting is somebody who knew how it worked then and knew what the issues were with it then should be involved in the development of ideas like it so that we don't do the same thing over again.
That's exactly right, Francis. Look, there's nothing inherently wrong with category management as a business proposition. I think it's great. But what you want to make sure is that you're not repeating mistakes that we know have already been made and that would bring negative attention to an otherwise good business management concept that has some promise.
You write, new ideas combined with experience know-how can be an effective mix. Without the right balance of each, though, government policies run the real risk of running in circles. Is there a way to quantify that mix, or do we just know it when we see it, Larry?
Well, I think we know it when we see it, Francis, when we understand that the innovative ideas that the people leading technological development come up with actually make government better. They're not just concepts. They're things that are implementable. There are things that can be repeated across other agencies. So they're not just good ideas. There are a lot of good ideas or potentially good ideas. What we want to make sure is that the ideas that have the actual ability to be put into place are put into place and are executed successfully. So so that we don't end up with a lot of good ideas littering the floor of various federal office buildings at the end of this administration.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And you have another item in here this week, Larry, in which you ask and answer the question, what do Sword Parts LLC, Defense Solutions, and Digital Depot have in common? Larry, what do those companies have in common?
They're all on the excluded parties list, Francis, more popularly known as the suspended list. They're all suspended from doing government contracts.
And how did they get that way?
Well, each of them violated fundamentally some term or condition of their government contract and showed that they didn't have the proper contract management oversight, proper management mechanisms in place to make sure that those mistakes did not happen again. And my point in all of this is that, look, I think there's an amount of complacency in government contractors, if they're not a big name like a Lockheed or a Northrop Grumman, that, you know, government investigators, government contract enforcers only look for the big guys, and they certainly don't. I doubt that many people outside of the immediate companies that you just named even knew they existed before we started to talk about them.
I never heard of any of them.
So the fact is that if you're doing government contracts, you have to make sure that you've got the compliance structure in place to make sure you're complying with it. Look, the worst case scenario, you end up on the suspended list. You and your employees all lose your livelihood, and any money you invested in your firm is probably gone too. Don't let this happen to you. Don't be like the guys that are already on the list. Spend a little time and a little effort to make sure you understand what you're supposed to comply with and that you actually comply with that.
You write, too often small or medium-sized businesses think it can't happen to me. What makes them think that? That doesn't really sound like a sensible argument.
Well, right, but I think it stems from the fact, Francis, that you know, you see big names in the headlines that where the government reaps multi-million dollar rewards from companies, larger companies that have failed to comply with one aspect or another of their contract. And since those are the ones that make the headlines, I think people say, well, you know, the auditors, the investigators, they're only looking at the companies that do, pick a number, $20 million, $50 million or more a year in government contracts. I can tell you from my own personal consulting practice, that is not the case. The government has been known to conduct audits on companies that sell $100,000 a year to the government. So you can't just assume that it won't happen to you. It can. And the number one way it happens to companies is when they upset an employee or they upset a competitor, and the next thing you know, there's a whistleblower action taken against your company. And if you're not aware, if you're just merrily selling right along and not paying any attention to all the I's being dotted and T's crossed, your company can end up in a lot of trouble.
The I's and the T's are there for a reason.
Correct.
Final item. We just have a minute or so left. Last item in the newsletter this week. Don't provide labor in vain. Give me the thumbnail on that, and we'll send folks to check it out online.
The thumbnail, Francis, is, look, make sure that your labor categories, when you're selling labor, actually match up with what the government's asking you for. Too often you find that industry has one labor category on a contract, and the government says we want X, and you try to wedge a round hole, a round peg into a square hole, it doesn't fit, and you can get in trouble even though you're trying to be a good, responsive business partner.
Today's theme could be details, 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 couldn't it, Larry?
Details, details, which are not exciting, but you ignore them at your peril, Francis.
Indeed. Thank you as always, my friend.
Thanks.